In northern Wisconsin, without bitter cold, it's hard to get the thick ice that lets visitors see the Apostle Islands ice caves on foot. It's been 9 years since they were safe enough to access. As we continue our series, Thin Ice, Wisconsin's Warming Winters, we look at what experiences we lose when winter's warm. For many in the upper Midwest, winter is a way of life. R. Schneller is an artist and grandmother in the Upper Peninsula. Schneller runs a popular Facebook page for all things ice caves, but there hasn't been much to update in the last couple of years. Schneller joins WUWM's Lena Tran to talk about her love for the ice caves.
Tell me about your first ice cave experience. Was that when they first really captivated you?
Well, I took a boat ferry to the sea caves first a long, long time ago. And then I'd heard about the ice caves. And I'm like, what's that all about? And so when my son was in middle school over 20 years ago, we went back when it wasn't popular or known about, I guess, because we're local and we know a lot of people. We have friends in, you know, Ashland, Washburn, Bayfield. So they mentioned these ice caves and I was like, I have to go and see it. So my son had President's Weekend off because the ice caves generally to me signal President's Weekend or Valentine's Day when they're at least normally open, if they are. We weren't very prepared, but I took my son and three other kids in middle school and we went. We brought a beach ball. Don't ask me why. They were kicking that around on the ice. Wrote their name on it and all of a sudden a big gust of wind took that away. So unfortunately, we don't do that anymore. But it was so cool to bring kids who are like 12 and 13 years old who weren't sure what to expect. And man, we crawled through these little caves and holes and they were just like shrieking about everything. But the coolest thing they saw that day was a frozen mouse about 3 inches deep into the ice. It was kind of up on a little edge in the one of the caves against the wall. And they were like, mom, come in here. You have to see this frozen mouse. This is cute.
I mean, I get the sense that you're a bit of a fanatic. So do you feel like you really like got the bug then, or did it take some time?
Yes. When we were in the big polar vortex freeze up, I went there with a girlfriend of mine who's a photographer, and we brought all of our gear that time because the last time I don't even think I took a camera because I can't even find any photos of the first experience, but it was melted into my brain. It was very memorable. And it was so perfect to be with family at that time. And then I started bringing friends. And so we hiked a lot further and I realized that there was more to see if we just kept going and going and going. And so when it was open the next year and then 138,000 people showed up, it was like pure craziness. So I'd try to go during the week and have less people. And that year I remember bringing the newcomers group, all the people that moved that were new to the community had joined this group. And we went out and trekked through there. And went even further. So we had a lot of fun.
Cool. What was it like to be able to introduce people to that experience?
Well, I'm sort of a community cheerleader and love sharing what's in my backyard. And I consider that the Upper Peninsula and Northern Wisconsin. If I have a neat experience, I write it down on a list and I give people a choice of where to go. And even with family, what we can go and see that time. Sharing something that beautiful and seeing it change every day, if it was cloudy out, if it was sunny out, there were just amazing things to see that you wouldn't expect. When it got really busy, that last year it was open in 2015, I was watching other people. And the first thing I decided to do was I'm going to walk way past the crowd. So we just kept walking and walking and walking and walking and walking and walking and walking. And you got to this point where there's this huge blue ice column that was just sheer all the way up to the top of the sandstone bluff and came all the way down. It had those pinkish colors from the sandstone powder that were frozen in there. And it had the clear ice on the kind of in the middle. It was just spectacular. The blue was just like you see in, you know, Alaska or in the Arctic. It was just incredible to see it all in that big column. So we were pretty thrilled about that. And there was less people. So as we traveled backwards, we started noticing people crawling into the smallest little caves. The one time I laid it down and crawled into this little spot and I thought, I'm only going to get half my torso in here because I'm not going to fit. And when I went in there, it was It was the most incredible, magical moment I've ever experienced. It was like so close to being in heaven. It was crazy. All these icicles just hanging, almost like symmetrically patterned. But against the back wall was that huge, on the outside, as you looked at it, there's this huge column or sheet of ice that was the size of a room, you know. But the ice, I think, settles or contracts and does all kinds of things from both the column and the flat ice on the lake, that there was this thin blue line. And it was because the sun was coming in and the reflection from the ice, it was just so incredible. You know, you always look for the perfect photo shoot. That was it, right inside there.
That's so special. Well, so the last time you would have experienced this was in 2015, almost a decade ago. Do you worry now about not being able to experience this anymore?
Well, this year we have the lowest amount of snow that we've had in over 100 years. And last year we were number six in the number of highest amounts of snowfall for the year. So,
right. We experience variation. Like sometimes it's snowy and cold and sometimes it's not.
Right.
But there is this trend towards warming. But it sounds like you hold out hope.
I always do. And, you know, I hold out hope because I have three grandchildren and they're 11 and 9. So I always know how long it's been that I haven't seen the ice caves because my grandson is 9. He was born the last year that I was able to see the ice caves. I want them to see it so badly. And that's my hope for our future, that we'll be able to experience that with grandkids.
Yeah. So when did you start the Facebook page?
Well, I didn't realize the impact of social media, really. I think I started the page in 2014 when the ice caves opened back up again. And at that time, you know, a lot of information wasn't out there. Social media wasn't. So you kind of had to guess if you could go out there. And so I'd always touch base with friends. I was so excited to share it with people in Ironwood and people in our community. And I'd go there and I'd take pictures. And then people said, well, how do I find out information about it? I went to search and I couldn't find it. Well, it was under National Apostle Islands Park, you know, service. It was just, it said nothing about ice caves. And I thought, well, that's kind of foolish marketing. It should say something about ice caves. So I thought, am I going to be in trouble for kind of starting up a Facebook page where I don't own it? But I thought, I really like getting the information out and sharing the photos. And I had no idea how many people would sign up and find me. They instantly found me because it became such a phenomenon. But I always said on the top of the page, I'm an unofficial, you know, not related to the Park Service. But when the Park Service then would report on the ice, whether it was safe or not, I would link that back over to my page so that people could go there, call, and have that link. So it was just kind of a wayfinder for them to get back to where they really belong.
Well, did the park ever get in touch with you or say anything?
Never did. I would have thought that they would, because it would have been smart to say, hey, can you just give us your Facebook page? And I would have said, sure. But they never said anything. Through the years, it's interesting because when there's no ice caves, I still try to report that there's nothing going on. And it's amazing how many people have this, maybe the automatic notice, and people respond back all the time, or they'll directly message me and ask, when do I think it will be? And then it gets tricky because I'm not a forecaster. I don't know when it is going to be. I can only say, what the Park Service says.
Do you think that your grandkids or your son is like surprised by this turn of events? Like, mom or grandma is this Facebook guru?
Yes, they are surprised. And it makes me think that I've got to go back to my other computer and dig up some of those great photos and just start posting them. And even thinking about the stories, the places, you know, when we've been there, it would be neat for other people to share their stories. If we can't go there, we might as well share the stories, right, that we have.
Yeah. Tell me about what your experience of this mild winter has been. I get the sense from your page that you see so much beauty in this season and have found other ways to embrace that despite the lack of snow and ice.
Well, we have to get creative when we don't have any snow. So I've taken my grandkids to the shoreline and we've looked for agates and uprolite rocks because the beach is exposed. So we've been, even if it's been like 35, 40 degrees, we'll go out there with buckets and shovels. And one night when we were uprolite hunting, we did have to take a hammer and kind of pick out two pieces that were frozen into the ice a little bit, but we were able to get these really nice sized uprolites. And I'm sure you know what those are too, right?
The glow in the dark.
Glow in the UV, yeah. So we've done that. And I also have a snowshoe group that I lead, and there's no snowshoeing. Out right now at our lake, there's just grass and leaves. So we've just done a lot of walking and hiking. The frozen waterfalls are really beautiful, especially with a few, like last week we had 4 inches of snow, and that just makes this beautiful new landscape all around the trees and along the edge.
Does any of this make you sad or?
Terribly sad, because I love sharing our beauty, and the ice caves to me are just one of the top 10 things that I do in this community. They're just so special. Everyone's happy when they're walking on the ice, and it's just a great, you get to find out where people are from. You have little conversations, you have little snacks on the ice. It's just like a little ice party. It's really a lot of fun. It's very sad because it's like spring. I mean, I worry about, you know, we don't have the snow cover. So what's our water going to be like? We can have people's septic systems freeze because the snow is not insulating it. A friend of mine is doing an art show in Cable about the animals and things that live under the snow. I mean, even the partridge can't bury themselves in the snow and stay warm, and little mice and voles can't stay warm. It affects animals and people and our climate and everything. It's and our enjoyment for what we do. We're going to all have to get a little more creative.
Mm-hmm. Well, I saw that you've become a bit of an aurora chaser.
Oh, yes. And the same son that I took to the ice caves now has a camera, and we shoot together. And sometimes he shoots at Saxon Harbor and I'll shoot at Little Girls Point. But shooting over the Lake Superior is the best place you could ever have, because it's like an open movie theater. I mean, it's such a clear, open spans of light that you can have. My husband goes to bed early, but there are some times where I'm just as excited with the ice caves as I am with the Northern Lights. And when they're spectacular, I will run downstairs, grab my husband and go, "You have got to get up here and you've got to look at this." He's like, no, I'm not going to. I said, "You have to. I won't even leave his bedside unless he gets up." And this next year is the peak of an 11-year cycle. So I guess the ice caves are not a thing, and my Northern Lights might be a thing. And I'm thinking about starting a Facebook page for that. Why not, right? All the leaves are brown, leaves
are brown, and the sky is gray. R. Schneller is an artist who lives in the Upper Peninsula. She spoke with WUWM's Lena Tran for our series, Thin Ice, Wisconsin's Warming Winters. We're spending the whole week exploring the impacts of Wisconsin's warming winters, and you can find the rest of our reporting at wuwm.com.